Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and you can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com, or you can go to Benny On Demand at our private community, and we love to have a conversation with you. I want to thank you once again for inviting me into your hearts and your homes. And like always, you can download this Bashani Radio app in the App Store for iTunes and Androids and join over 3 million people that are enjoying these powerful podcasts every single day. Like always, ladies and gentlemen, we have another extraordinary guest. His name is Michael J. Roach. Michael is Vice President of Financial Planning and Analysis at an alternate asset management firm with more than $2 billion in asset under management. He enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves, where he served 6 years, including a deployment to Iraq, and achieved the rank of sergeant. During his service, Michael turned to academic pursuits and earned a bachelor's degree in accounting and later earned an MBA from Loyola University, Maryland. He began his career as an investment banker, where he spent 5 years in merger and acquisition analysis, turned around management and capital, raising for transactions totaling over $300 million. Michael then moved into the corporate financial planning and analysis position, where he built a new function for a recently public construction company and was a liaison for finance and operations and turnaround management process, resulting in $20 million turnaround in approximately 2 years. Let me tell you something. Michael is a giant in the financial world, and he's also a giant in the personal development world. Michael, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm truly blessed, my friend. Michael, let's start off since we started this. How do you be in the military and then end up in the financial industry?
So when I was in the military, they have the VA programs for college tuition. And so I used my GI Bill to work on my bachelor's degree and ended up finishing my degree in accounting while I was in the Marine Corps. And through that experience, I made some connections. One introduced me to a managing director at a small investment banking firm, and he decided to take a chance on me and offered me a position as an analyst in his group.
Very, very powerful. And I think that's wonderful, because a lot of times we hear about the struggles from going from military service into civilian sector of life and people having a hard time transitioning from one point to the other point. How would you be able to find success in that transition?
So a couple of things that I did. And the first one is I found somebody who was willing to help me out. And I worked with a mentor, a personal and professional mentor, who walked me through some of the issues and pitfalls that I had run into. And they really just showed me how I could use what experience I'd learned in the Marine Corps, that sometimes things are hard, sometimes things are easy. And as long as you keep working at them, you can work them out. Sometimes it's better to move fast and get it wrong and adjust your plan from there than it is to wait for the right answer and see what happens. And so I used the connections that I'd made and a couple of mentors that helped me out along the way to make that transition and find a way to create a path for myself that wouldn't have been available to me if it hadn't been for my military service.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very powerful. I really appreciate that. So let's go on. In addition to Michael's professional success, he has a passion for helping people find and fulfill their purpose. Now, how do you get here, Michael? You went from the military into the financial industry and now pointed towards the personal development aspect. Tell my listeners a little bit about this. It's only me, you, and about 3 million people, so ain't a lot of people here, okay?
All right. Well, the thing that made me want to shift my focus is no matter how much I have done and how much I even continue to plan to do, it still felt like I was missing something that I know I'm supposed to do. And I couldn't keep hiding from my calling through other success. And I know that I need to make a change and needed to make a change. And so I started looking for answers. And sure enough, shortly after I started looking for answers, I started finding a hands to try and help me along the way.
You know, that's powerful that you said hiding from your purpose. Michael, why do you say that? And why do so many other people do that same exact thing? What have you discovered about yourself that can help other people who are hiding from their purpose? That's very, very powerful, because a lot of times people don't realize how powerful their experiences have been in their lifetime and how those same experiences can help other people win.
So I'll take a step back here and I'll rewind the clock a bit and I'll start from the beginning. I grew up in a small town, grew up in church, raised real conservative, was homeschooled until 10th grade, and always felt just a little bit outside of what everybody else was doing. There's a lot of negative feedback that I got through the way that I was raised and some different things that happened, and it created a sense inside of myself that it didn't matter what I did, I wasn't going to be good enough for anybody else. And so I was afraid. I still am afraid of accepting that there's something more for me out there than just winning, just succeeding. And it's been there since I was a kid that I've always felt like there was something more I'm supposed to be doing. And I turned and walked away from it, and then I ran away from it, and then I buried myself in other things for a while. Mm-hmm. And it worked for a while, but everybody loses at hide and seek against themselves at some point. And I finally ran out of places to hide from myself, and I want to try and share that experience with people in a way that maybe can help them find themselves a little bit sooner than it took me. Maybe somebody who's not as thick-headed and stubborn as I am is able to learn a little bit quicker.
I love how you say that, Michael. Like you're very honest with yourself right here on this show, and I appreciate that you say thick-headed, because let me tell you something, Michael, we all have those moments. We all have those moments when we know we're supposed to be doing something, but yet we find every other reason not to do it. But you know what I found out, Michael, is very, very simple. The things that are meant for you will chase you until you succumb to them. And I believe that in your journey to where you're going, they have been chasing you and you decided to pay attention to it. And you can learn more about what Michael has to offer at MichaelJRoach.com. That's ROTCH.com. And because I was reading over his mission, and that it's helping veterans understand the value that the military experience provides, that they can continue a life of service in the civilian sector, and that they don't need to be defined by their military service. Elaborate a little bit on that, Michael.
So my experience with the Marine Corps, there are a lot of really smart, capable people who have done a lot. And oftentimes there's sort of a common bond of everybody enlists in the military to provide service to other people. And when it comes time for them to either be done with their contracts, get out, or figure out what comes next in their life, it's easy to get caught in the trap of, I don't know what to do. I'm going to lose my sense of purpose. I'm going to lose who I am and what I've done because nobody else has done this or seen this or experienced this in the way that I have. And I believe that all of those skills and challenges and interesting things and diverse people that we come into contact with through the military gives us a unique insight, ability to work through and overcome problems that may not be apparent to other people. And I think that the more of those people that we can keep doing something that's in the good of the people, right? In the good of the country, in the good of their friends, family, and is a service-based path and career, I think provides a great opportunity for transition and is something that sometimes I think can be made apparent just by having an outside perspective from somebody who really understands a lot of what you've experienced.
Mm. See, and I love how you talk so passionate about it, because you can only get that passionate when you've been through it. Was a lot of this on your mind when you was in your own transition, you know, going from the military service to the civilian sector? Were you kind of debating about which way to go before you did find the mentors, you know, that was allowed, you know, that help and guide you and gave you a little clarity of where you needed to go? Were you somehow stuck in that that transition, and that's why you're here now to help other people who have been through the military in that same aspect?
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea what came next. What do I do? Right, I'm just a guy. I enlisted a little bit later than some people did. I'm 29 years old. I'm about to get out of the Marine Corps. I have been working in random jobs as a pharmacy tech or a fire alarm technician or a server at a restaurant, and feeling like that was the only path that I had available to me. And best case scenario is I end up as a store manager who people say, thank you for your service 20 years later. And I didn't know what to do about that and how to change it. And that's the path that I needed some help to figure out. And thankfully, by the grace of God, was able to.
I love it. I love it. Let's pivot towards the education track here. You said that help educating people to see the unique value that they can provide regardless of their background and how to use their skills or experience to maximize returns and outputs. Elaborate a little bit on that, Michael.
Yep. So I finished my undergraduate degree through an online program and at community college in a couple of different states. And it took me, 10 years to finish my college degree. And along the way, you live life. And that experience from whether it's the Marine Corps or I mentioned a server job or working in a more tech industrial industry, or all of those things gave me different insights into how people interact with each other and how decisions are made at different levels of companies, how low-level employees interact with senior employees and which ones are able to succeed and which ones are not able to succeed as a result of those interactions. And and then in my time in investment banking, it's a very competitive industry, and I was blessed and fortunate to have been provided an opportunity there. But I'd go to meetings, and I'm 30 years old, been out of college, I guess I'd only been out of college for about a year because of the time it took me. But you're right, I'd started college 10 or 12 years earlier, and the first question people were asking me is, well, where'd you get your undergrad from? And I'd tell them, well, from an online college when I was in the Marine Corps. And they'd look at me like I was spoke Greek or something back to them.
like you were speaking from another planet, huh?
Yep. And we'd interview people and they'd be like, oh, well, I just went to Georgetown. Oh, you know, those kinds of things yes, there's certainly value to getting those great educations and having the nameplate on your resume, but there's also value to living life and working hard and figuring out a path that is different than the one that other people have had to, because now you've learned to see around corners and find a way and forge a path forward in a way that maybe somebody with a more traditional education background hasn't.
Mm-hmm. So are you telling me it took you 10 years to get out of college?
It did.
And you're not a scientist or a rocket science, right?
I am not, no.
I love it, man. That gives people hope, man, you know, because, you know, a lot of time people get out of high school and they immediately want to go to college so they can get that over with and be done by the time they're 24. You did 10 years and it's amazing. So I think what that says to the people is that it's not where you start, it's kind of where you finish. You know what I mean?
And yes, sir.
So that long trek that you took was an unorthodox way, but you damn sure did it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and we'll be right back after this short break.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio Show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, you are on the Benny Randall Show. And remember, you can always download it from the app, the Bashani Radio app, and your iTunes or for your Android. And you can listen to this on show, not just only on the Bashani Network, but all around the world. You got iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you just punch in the Benny Randall Show and you're going to get some great, entertaining, educational information. And today's like no other day. We have Michael J. Roach. He's a life coach, and he is really dropping some real nuggets. So if you miss any part of the beginning of this show, just go back to the beginning and make sure you use this and listen to what he's saying about his journey, you know, because there's many different ways to get to the finish line. You don't always have to take the traditional route to get to the finish line. You just have to continue and be consistent is what I'm getting from here. Michael, you said there are 1,000 reasons that we use to talk ourselves out of our competency. Explain that.
Well, I mentioned a little bit earlier about some of my background and the education and things. And so it's so easy. I don't know why we do it, or maybe it's just me. I suppose I could be the only one, but it's so easy to find the reasons why I can't, why I shouldn't, why I may not be able to, no matter what I try to do. There's always an anvil that's about to fall. I feel, you know, sometimes I feel like Wile E. Coyote going after the Roadrunner, that, you know, I can create anvils in the sky. I can create roads that disappear, and I can paint tunnels of, or paintings of tunnels on the side of a mountain that roll up as soon as I run into them. And that's something that I've fought every day of my career and probably most of my life, is trying to prove to myself, because I felt like other people were going to identify me as a fraud because I didn't sound the same as them. My resume didn't look the same as theirs. And I was the homeschooled kid from church in Maine. You know, and so I used all of those things. Sometimes I used them as fuel. And when I used them as fuel, I pushed forward and did a lot of things in a pretty short window of time. And when I used those things as excuses, they kept me from accomplishing my best life, and were just so easy to fall into as an excuse and a reason to do dumb stuff, make bad choices, or just plain old stay where I was.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me tell you something, Michael. You're not the only one. I can promise you. I know a lot of people that talk themselves out of what they should be doing. And there's a lot more people that you probably don't even know. And that's why we like to have people on the show like yourself to allow people to know there's different ways of getting to the prize. And so many people struggle, and they struggle alone, Michael. And that's why people like you come in to help them be able to guide and give them some clarity based on your own experience. Because one thing I can tell you, Michael, is this. Nobody has lived your life. Is that true? Correct? No one has lived your life.
That is true.
Right. So if no one has lived your life, they can't actually know your exact journey unless you allow them to know your exact journey. That's where your value comes in. And that's where your value comes in helping other people to understand their value, because every single person has their own journey, and no two journeys are identical. Even identical twins, Michael, are not identical to the T. You know what I mean? One might be a little bit smarter. One might be a little bit slower. One might be a little bit happier and, you know, fatter, taller, whatever it is. But they're not identical, you know, all down to the T. And that's the beauty of your journey and the beauty of you out here helping people find and discover their greatness inside. Let me go to something that's a little bit more deep issue with you here, Michael. And you talked about family issues, helping people learn how to achieve their best life, their highest purpose, by overcoming hurt they feel from their family and recognizing that their life does not need to be driven by their family choices. You're in the hot seat, brother.
It is feeling a little warmer with this one.
And it ain't just this New York weather. Go ahead.
So growing up, I'm one of seven kids, and I grew up in a place where we were poor in ways that are difficult to kind of understand or communicate. We were, I think you called it, just plain broke. when we spoke about it.
That is, you was having a financial inconvenience is basically what you did. But yeah, the code word to that, you were broke, Michael. You were so broke, you couldn't pay attention. But go ahead, Michael. I'm not the one that said that.
As a result of that, me and my family we're really close, and they're the only people that I've felt like could understand where I was coming from and what my story was. And at the same time, I've always been a pretty independent kid, and my mom, from as long as I can remember, tells me that even back when I was a nursing infant, that I'd try and run away as soon as I was done eating. And as a result, there kind of grew a space between me and my mom, and to the point where probably around 12 years old, she would say things like, "I just wish you were like your brother. I don't understand how to deal with you." And some of those things created a lot of hurt and resentment and anger inside of me that impacted a lot of the way that I lived and the decisions that I made for a long time, because I cared more about my family than anybody else in the world and felt like they didn't want me to be there. So I know what it feels like to know that to feel like you're not going to be able to give back to your family in a way that you want to, or to feel like no matter what you do, you're not going to quite be good enough or accepted by them in the way that you hope. And I know the decisions that I made as a result of that. Some of them were, you know, self-harmful. Some of them were dropping out of college and just doing dumb things that people do when they're hurt and angry and sad and upset and confused. And I finally got to a point where I couldn't let that control my life anymore. And I found ways to open myself back up to thinking that I could be loved by somebody and that I could be accepted by somebody. And some of those things led to really uncomfortable conversations with my family. And still to this day, there's a sense of, you know, my family telling me, I don't understand you, Michael. I don't know how to deal with you. I don't know what to talk to you about. So I try and avoid you because you make me feel uncomfortable. But that's not what drives my life anymore. And I know that even though it's hard sometimes and there's some rawness to it and it doesn't feel super great all the time, that I'm making choices that are best for me, and keep learning and keep growing and keep working to forgive and rebuild relationships with my family. And I know the impact that that's had on my life, and I want to try to help people get through that faster than I did, because I wasted a decade and a half or two decades just being an angry guy and fighting against my own hurt feelings instead of growing into the person that I knew that I should be.
Now that was that. I'm telling you, Michael, that was an Oprah moment. I'm sorry. I'm not Oprah and Oprah. I'm not trying to steal your shine, but that was an Oprah moment right there, because that was very, very powerful. And I appreciate you being so transparent right here. You know, with 3 million people you don't even know. All right. Well, you know me, so I'm one of, you know, I mean, we go from here. Okay. But I really do appreciate your transparency, because, you know, part of the healing process is accepting it. And part of the healing process is giving back. And you in this personal development circle now, you know, I think you have a lot to offer to those that might be going to the same circumstances that you have been through. Because like we discussed earlier in this conversation, you know, nobody has lived your life like you've lived your life. Nobody knows your journey like you know your journey, and your journey is singular. All right. And all that hurt and pain that you're taking and you're turning it into power. And I think that should be commended, because it takes those moments of deep hurt and pain to turn it into power. Just like myself, Michael, you know, at my age, I've lost, you know, my sister was murdered by her husband because she wanted a divorce. You know, my brother was in a fast life. He got killed. My entire immediate family, my other brother, he was, you know, health reasons. And my dad and my died of health reasons, and my firstborn child. But what I've learned to do, Michael, is take that pain and turn it into power. And it is that power that I share with others to help them turn their pain into power. And I think that's the point where you're at. And the fact that you come on this show right here with 3 million people listening and you're able to be transparent, that's called taking your pain and turning it into power. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
I'm so glad you came on here. We only have a few more questions. Get this. I love when shows like this, like, you know, you really get down to it. Let me hit that fourth point. You spoke about helping people learn to deal with challenging and questioning their faith and teaching them how to overcome the doubts that arise as a result. Tell my audience a little bit more about your faith and what you have learned in the process of faith.
So growing up in a super conservative Christian household, that defined everything in my life from the start of my life until one day, I don't know, I was probably 10 or 12 years old and thought I was smart enough to start asking questions about it and started saying, well, this doesn't make sense. Help me understand this. And that was not received super well in that environment. And the answer was, well, just faith is the answer. Just faith is the answer. Just faith is the answer. And that didn't work for me. But my one of the building blocks of my core foundation felt like it had just been ripped away because I had questions about it and nobody could answer them. And I felt like I had to figure it all out on my own. And when that sense of who you are and what you're supposed to do was pulled away from me, I struggled hard with trying to find purpose, find a reason, find ways to reconcile in my mind that, you know, if I ask this question, then I'm damned to hell for eternity. Or if I don't ask this question, then I'm going to be wondering and spinning inside my mind every day for the rest of my life about what's real, what's not. And finding a way to work through those issues and come to a point where it's okay for me to have questions, that God's not an angry kid with a magnifying glass out trying to get me.
I'm sorry, but that analogy was amazing. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
that there's a journey to my faith, in that if you look to the biblical definition of faith, it talks about something like a mustard seed. And I may not have a mustard seed yet, but I am working through those challenges and rebuilding that foundation of my life, and finding ways to build faith in a way that's meaningful and important to me, and helps me get back that sense of purpose and belonging in what I'm trying to get out of this thing called life. That I know how hard that was for me and how alone I felt in asking those questions and dealing with that stuff. And you don't have to be. There are other people who helped me through the same things, and there are books that I've read and people that I've talked to, and having support as I ask those questions fundamentally changed my life. And so that's why that's an important thing to me.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, see, I love having shows like this, man, because it's these breakthrough shows that allow people to realize and dig deep. And if this episode helps one person challenge their thinking, challenge their own thoughts, then I think we've done something great here. And my final question, Michael, kind of like a summary of all these things we've been talking about. You said a common thread between the probable highlights is that you struggled with frequently is that you have value for just who you are. You have to have value for who you are. And that value is not set by your circumstances, backgrounds, or people in your life. In your final words, elaborate on that a little bit, my friend.
So I love people. I really do.
Wow.
I love people. I think that there's so much amazing good in the world, and so much of that gets hidden behind the same things that I've hidden behind for a lot of my life and what those struggles are. And that is that I matter because of who I am, that somewhere along the way, someone designed for me to exist in this world. And that is enough to give me value and reason and purpose. And I don't need to define myself, define my options, define my opportunity and what I'm worth to the world by how other people view me, by the circumstance I was raised in, by the education that I have, by my journey through faith. That I hope every day for the opportunity to share with somebody a way to show them the value that they add to the world.
That's a very, very powerful. Michael, I really appreciate you coming on the Benny Randall Show. We like to have entrepreneurs and people that are making an impact in this world, because there's, as you said through this powerful conversation, is that there is so much going on, but there is so much good in the world that gets hidden. And one thing I think gonna last with me, you said, I love people. I love people. Michael, why do you love people?
I think it's just what I was born to do, sir. I can't explain it to you anyway other than that, but it brings me joy and fulfillment and happiness every time that I get to meet and interact with somebody new and find out a little bit about them and who they are and see the color and creativity and just everything that they have to bring to the world. And I think it might just be who I was born as.
I love it. I love it. I thank you for taking some valuable time out your schedule. I know you're busy, man. Michael, if people want to learn more about you, where could they do that at?
They can visit my website at Michael J. Roach, spelled ROTCH.com.
And everything about Michael is right there, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, Michael, I really appreciate you coming on the Benny Randall Show. Way we believe that it's your business to know. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I want to thank you for allowing me into your hearts and your homes. And we like to bring you entrepreneurs and people that are making impact in service to other people like Mr. Michael J. Roach. And what I've learned is that there is always a different way to get to the prize, as he spoke about. You know, too many people, you know, people say, oh, I'm not going to be that many years in school. But it doesn't matter how long it took you to get there. It's the question is, did you get to the finish line? And Michael J. Roach has gotten to the finish line, and now he wants to help you get to the finish line. So make sure you visit him at MichaelJRoach.com, and that's spelled ROTCH.com. And ladies and gentlemen, always remember this. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio Show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.